Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Awesome. Welcome to Community Covenant Church this morning. I am glad to be with you. I'm hanging out. And, you know, people see the mic hanging off my face. And they go, oh, you're preaching today. And I say, well, yes. Yes, I am. And they say, what's Mike doing? and I say, critiquing. I'll get an email later. No, so it's really funny because last time I got to preach with you guys, we're going through the Covenant Affirmation series, and I'm enjoying it because I'm reading a lot and I'm finding a lot out about the Covenant Church because I've never been in a Covenant Church before this Covenant Church. I mean, I did go to Bayside for a few weeks to check it out, and so I found a more reasonable sized Covenant Church. It's like, all right, we can land there for a while. Although Daryl, you know, if you could get with Lincoln and find out how he does the Mohawk, go a long way. But Mike, I joke, everyone's asking me, are you preaching again? Yes, because Mike is trying to covenant the heck out of me. And this is like oral exam time. He's like, I want you to learn the covenant affirmations. I want you to learn them well. I want you to know them. And I'm going to test you. And this is my test. I get to preach on what I've learned. It's good. It's an oral exam. So this morning, I am preaching on the fourth of the affirmations, the fourth of six. And Mike will be back for the next two because they're more heavy duty. And so this morning, we don't have it on. I keep looking at the screen like it's going to show up there. But guess what? It's not, because I didn't do a slide for it. But the second, fourth affirmation is that we affirm, the Covenant Church affirms the church as a fellowship of believers. And when I read this, I thought, this is good. This is good. I have no idea what it means. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this very emphatically, and I might poke a few buttons here, but I'm going to say it anyways. If I were unfamiliar with church, Jesus, the Bible, and I walked in here and someone said, hey, we're a fellowship of believers, I would say, I have no idea what you just said to me. No clue. What does that even mean? What is a fellowship? I saw it once in a movie title about a ring. These guys, and they're dwarves here. Do you have a couple of hobbits hanging about? No, we're a fellowship of believers. So I thought, first things first, I have to understand what this is and be able to explain it in a very simple way. Okay, here's what the Covenant Church essentially affirms, and I might just call it at the end of my sermon. The Covenant Church affirms that the church is a bunch of broken people together because of Jesus. Okay? Bunch of broken people together because of Jesus. People together because of Jesus. That is why we exist as a church. Now, I know that the world today has a lot of problems with the church. And the church on its face has been embroiled in controversy. We find ourselves meddling in things that are silly and temporary. And sometimes we lose our focus on what is eternal and glorifying to God. But when we explain that the church is a bunch of broken people together because of Jesus, suddenly it starts making sense. And people say things like, well, I've been hurt by the church. Try pastoring. I'm dead serious. You want to get hurt by the church? Step into ministry full time. The church will hurt you, will bite you, will poke you, stab you, beat you, talk bad about you. And then when they're done with you, they'll send you on your way. I have been hurt by the church. I can say that emphatically. I have been hurt by the church, but I will confess boldly, proudly, I love the church. I love the church. Let me say this one more time. I love the church because the church is beautiful. And the church declares in all of its broken messiness, in all of its horrid, like, flaws, and all of the things, when you lift up the rock and you look in under the, right, the fellowship of believers into the broken people together because of Jesus, and go, oh, wow. That's what's going on? Yes. I mean, who remembers this one from when you were a kid? All right, here we go. Follow along. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open up and see all the... Yeah! Except this should be like, you know, gnarled, broken, you know, some smashed fingernails, some mud, some stuff. But yet here we are, and God continues to call us not only the church, he calls us his church. Not only does he call us his church, he calls us his bride, which makes a lot of dudes uncomfortable. I'm like, I'm all in it. It's fine with me. Give me a pretty white dress. I'll be okay. It's great. But it means that we're in this together because the church requires broken people. For the church to function, for the church to be the church, it must have broken people. It must. And you can sit in your seat right now, and I know people are like, well, what about Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Yes. Yes to both of those. However, it requires broken, messy people to function. Without the broken, messy people, you know what you don't have anymore? The church. And here's what's awesome is God set it up that way. God looked and said, I'm going to use all of these broken people and I'm going to bring them together in a wonderful, chaotic sort of tapestry or, you know, quilt, if you will, if you're more Americana, quilt, tapestry, if you're more East Asian, that's fine. But I'm going to blend them all together in some sort of dare-to-drink smoothie, and I'm going to use them for my glory. And it takes people of all ages, all backgrounds, all colors, races, creeds, from all nations. And God pulls them together and says, this is my church. These are my people whom I love and I've called my own. And the covenant church comes along and says, yeah, we're in with that. Right? Because that's what this, I'm a friend to anyone who fears you. And you bring that mess together, and we all fear you together from our different backgrounds and our different upbringings and all of the different things that we have going on. It's one of the reasons I love this church. When you look across the room, it is not a blank palette of sameness. There are different ages. There are different ethnicities. There are different demographics all across the board. Now, I mean, you know, we're not screaming, hey, we're the diverse church, but we're doing really well for Rockland. Let's just say that. And so I understand and want to make sure that I'm clear, right? I love the church because the church should make a stand back and say, oh my God, look at what you have done with the church. And it should give us great joy as we come together and we celebrate Jesus. And it's not just the Sunday morning gathering, nor is it the building. And I think we know ad nauseum, the church is not the building, but I'm going to say it again. The church is not the building. The people that occupy the building are the church. So if the building burnt down, we go elsewhere. We continue to be the church. But what brings us together? What does it mean to be the church? The church growing, connecting, and serving the church. What does it mean to be a fellowship of believers? Broken people together because of Jesus. So for that, we're going to need your Bibles. So break out your Bibles. I should have done this at the beginning. I'm sorry. I kind of breezed past the Bible part of my welcome. But a Bible you will need. If you're going to use the Bible in front of you, you're going to roll right over to page 858 in the book of 1 Peter. Because we're going to talk about what it means to be the church. We're going to talk about what it means to be inside of the church and be part of the church life. But it starts with a few things. So while you're turning, I'm going to give you point one because this is what we covered a couple weeks ago. The first things first, being a people together because of Jesus, you got to have the gospel. You got to have Jesus. We got to start there. Remember that whole new life thing we talked about a couple weeks ago? We have to have that. We have to have that central purpose, that central reason for being together. It's not just a gathering of people who like to hang out. It's not just a football party, right? Although, hey, I'm all for football parties. In fact, I believe that God loves Northern California very especially because he gives us really bad football teams and we need to pray for them a lot. There you go. Just going to say that. I'm a Niners fan. Decades of prayer. But we're not just gathering, you know, for the eggs I talked about, although those are wonderful. We're not just here to hang out. We're here because of Jesus. We're here because of Jesus, to make much of Jesus, to lift Jesus up, to make much of his name, to point to him, to tell everybody, we're about Jesus. We sing songs about Jesus. We don't sing songs about us. We sing songs about Jesus. We preach about Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We pray to Jesus. We do all these things to point directly at Jesus. Because we're here because of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the one who pulls us through our brokenness into community, into the church. So we got to have that first and foremost. We got to have the gospel. We got to have Jesus. The next thing is we need a tribe. We need a tribe. We need to belong. Here's why. Prior to Jesus, you didn't really have one. This is where we're going to dive into scripture. So if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to pick up in verse 4. I'm going to read this and we're going to walk through this a little bit. But you need a tribe. So here's what Peter writes, and he writes this letter. He's writing it to the Gentiles, and he says, listen, as you come to him, that is Jesus, as you all come to him, this is 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you, now here's what's important, hear these words. Verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies, I love that, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I love this passage. I love it. Part of it is I grew up in a really weird family situation. My family was kind of quasi-close, but a lot of brokenness and dysfunction. And so, but I love family. And I knew all my life I needed a tribe, so I married a wonderful, incredible woman, and we've created our own. So we have four kids. Like, we're looking forward to like 10 billion grandkids in like, you know, 15 years or so. We're not too eager. But we know the necessity of tribe. And when Peter writes this, he says to these people, listen, you weren't even a people, which seems like really mean, but in truth, the Gentiles really weren't. I mean, they had places they came from and tribes they belonged to, literally, but what he was saying is you weren't a people of value, of purpose, of intent. You were like lost and wandering, and now you are God's people. God bought you into community. He bought you into a tribe. Now, I know some of you are saying, he does not speak English very well. I believe the word is brought. No, no. You were bought into community. You were purchased into community through the blood of Jesus. Through Jesus' blood, he reached out, grabbed you, pulled you into this really wonderful, fun, putting the fun in dysfunctional kind of family. of many tribes, of many nations, of many tongues, of many people, all broken in need of his grace. So you became part of this tribe. And what's more important is you need a local tribe. So here you are sitting here Sunday morning with us. Awesome, welcome, thank you for being here. Because you can't just be part of the global tribe without being part of the local tribe. I'm going to put it just all over that mess. I don't like that. That myth is just horrible. Well, I'm part of the big C church. Really? Where's your little C church at? Well, I don't need one of those. I'm sorry. Pardon me. Have you read the Bible? Because the Bible's pretty emphatic that you need a local church, people you gather with, people you talk to, people who know you, people who hold you accountable, people who bring you in. You need to be part of a tribe. Then you need to realize this. We are an essential part of the body. I want you to write that word down. Essential. Okay? You are an essential part of the body. Once you're brought in, right? You're sewn on, grafted, as the Bible likes to say. But you become an essential part of the body. Paul describes this in 1 Corinthians 12. I won't have you turn there and read through it because it's really long. But the passage, if you want to mark it for later, is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 31. That's why we're not 12 to 31. There's a lot to read and process. But in essence, he says this. We're all parts of the body. And we're all dependent on one another. We're all interdependent. Not codependent. Not independent. But interdependent on one another. We need one another. In other words, the eye can't say to the foot, get lost. You crash into too much stuff. And the foot certainly can't say to the eye, I don't need you. Because it would just make it so much worse. But every part essential. Every part needed, necessary. Why? For the work that God has called us to. And he pulled us together and said, I'm going to use you, all together, all the time to declare my glory and make much of my son's name. And preach this gospel message to the world. In all your brokenness, all of you are essential. We are all essential parts of the body. And finally this, and this is where we're going to park for a while, because this is important. We all take part in the ministry. So if you would flip over in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, that's on page 828. So if you just go 30 pages in the pew Bibles, the seat Bible, what do we call those? The church Bibles? Sure, the church Bible. It says pew Bible, but, you know, we don't necessarily have pew. We have rows. The row Bibles, the chair Bibles, the Bibles in the seats. Making way big a deal about this. 828 on those Bibles. Here's what Paul writes about the body in Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 11, we're just going to 16. So five verses. I have six verses. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, hear this, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We all take part in ministry. The tragic flaws of the modern church is that we hire professionals to do ministry. And those people make programs and we participate and we're told what to do and we just kind of get in line and follow around and we don't meet need until the church tells us there's a need and we don't identify. And Paul says, no, 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 no. The reason you have a church and the reason that church is given leadership is for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to equip every butt in every seat. Every butt in every seat. I'll say it again. Some people are shocked. Yes,
I'm sorry, every tukis, if we're going to go Hebrew, every tukis in every seat to do the works of ministry. My job here is not to make disciples out of everyone in the church, right? Though I'm the discipleship guy, I don't have the bandwidth to start on this end and work my way around to this end, because by the time I get over here, these people are, you know, it's like, whoa. What I'm supposed to do is point out where the Bible and scriptures and equip you all to make disciples. Because we're all part of this. We're all part of this together. We're called together in this fellowship of believers, broken people together because of Jesus, to take part in the ministry. This is why, practically, we ask for these things. Ask people to come up and serve communion, to come up and do the welcome, the ministry minute, other upfront announcements, like Ainsley last week, who was rad, to serve the kids, lead small groups, volunteer with youth, help in the office, play instruments and sing in the band, greet others, pass the offering plates, work the sound booth, and all that. Plus, that's just inside. That's just the inside stuff. Go out, preach the word, love people, serve people, tell them about Jesus, meet needs wherever you go, because you've been equipped to do so merely, the Bible says, by the proclamation of the word and the Holy Spirit which empowers you. All of that is ministry. All of that is the priesthood of all believers in cohesion, in unity, serving together to do the work of ministry, so that the body is united and grows up in love. Only God comes up with a plan like that. Because you go to corporate America with a plan like that, they're like, that's crazy. No. Leadership, like, it doesn't work that way, because you'll just go bankrupt. But God designs the ministry of the church that way, calling all in. But it goes a little bit deeper. Because in order to accomplish this, in order to go out and do these things, because someone might say, well, then I could just sit down in my house and read my Bible and thus hear the word by reading the word and go out and do what it says. Feasibly. Feasibly you could. Sure. I won't sit here and argue with that. Okay, you could. But we're called together. And God designed it that way. So you know why? So when you're tired of doing it on your own, you have people to lean on. When you don't know what to go or do, people are there to encourage you. When you're wandering into sin and being dumb, people are there to say, hey, you're being dumb. Stop it. Stop being dumb. It's the church. This is the one another's of the church. See, the Bible is full of these one another, they're called imperatives. Things we should do, one another, here they are, right? Love one another, welcome one another, admonish one another, exhort one another, pray for one another, bear with one another. I'm gonna be here a while. Forgive one another, be patient with one another, greet one another, sing to one another, be kind to one another, submit to one another, speak truth to one another, encourage one another, stir up one another, speak well of one another, don't grumble about one another, don't gossip about one another, show hospitality to one another. The list goes on. I'd be here for an hour. But in order to do this, guess what you need? One another. One another. In order to do the one another's, you need another. This is what we're called to do these things, to honor God this way, to show love like he showed love, to grow up in maturity. And this is the beautiful thing about the church. This is what makes the church amazing and awesome. Because in our flawedness, God keeps using us. Messy and broken and completely awe-inspiring. And it's a picture of the gospel. And Jesus even says it himself when he prays in the book of John. Let them be unified. Let them be together. Let them know, love, care for one another, so that the world will know you sent me. It's a picture of the gospel. So you get involved with the life of the church. You find a way in, you find a small group, you find a people to be around more than just once a week on Sunday morning where you listen to some guy like me, you rattle on. Mike doesn't rattle on, he's way more concise. We discussed that earlier. But you get in a small group, you find life together, you invite people to your home. That's what hospitality to one another is. Invite people over your house, messy or not. You know, you sit around the table, you share a meal. They can bring their own meal, it doesn't matter, right? Just get together and be together. Find a place to serve. Connect with one another and pour into one another. And then on top of that, then we get to do this thing called membership. Well, it doesn't mean you're perfect, because perfect people are not allowed. I had to be very honest. I don't know, it was a month ago, we had the normal abnormal talk. We just abnormal people only, please. We get to do this thing called membership where we covenant together, we agree together that we're in this for one another, that we're submitting to the leadership, not because they're like, oh, but because they love us and they care for us and we want to agree with them and support them and encourage one another and do this imperfect mess together. And we get to join in and say, I'm with that. And I love that. So I would hope today, as we close, you understand, this is a great picture, by the way, of this. People join together in support of one another in their brokenness because of Jesus. And I hope this morning it would give you a better picture of the church. And it would help you understand what it means to be a fellowship of believers. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks so much. Thank you that you came, that you walked, lived sinlessly, died horribly, and rose again, that we may be forgiven. But Lord, as we learned today, that you would do that to purchase us into your family. You would make us members of your body. You would make us heirs in your kingdom. And you would bring us together in spite of all of our stuff. And you would call us into this incredible work of loving and serving. Not perfectly, but step by step, because of your great mercy and love. So Lord, we pray today that we are able to evaluate and hold dear this idea of church, this idea of what it means to be broken people together because of you and your great name. That's in that name we pray this morning. Amen.